Okay, today's daf is daf ches. We began it a little bit yesterday. The Gemara discusses the idea that a judge has to be completely impartial, and therefore a litigant can't take advantage of having a relationship with the judge to tell the judge his point of view before the judge hears the other point of view. And the Gemara related a story that Rav had been hosted by someone. This guy who had hosted Rav came to Rav and said, "Oh, Rav, remember you ate by me?" Rav said, "Yeah, I remember, sure." He said, "Oh, good. I have a court case." So Rav said, "Listen, at this point, we'll start at this point, right, at the top of Ches Amud Aleph. Psil Nalach L'Dayana, you've disqualified me from being your judge. Because once you've tried to ingratiate yourself with me and remind me of the fact that I owe you gratitude for this, because you've hosted me, that means you can't be my judge anymore. I can't be your judge anymore. I'm biased." Amalei Rav, Rav Kahana. Rav said to Rav Kahana then, again in the first line here in Ches Amud Aleph, "Puk Dayane, you go out and you judge this guy." So Chazi Rav Kahana, when he was judging him, saw to have a kagayaspe, that the guy was very arrogant. He said, "You know, I've got Rav in my corner. I'm going to go talk to Rav. He's going to talk to Rav Kahana." Amalei, so Rav Kahana said to him, "Listen, itzayata tzayata. If you listen to me, good, you'll listen. Velo, but if you keep with this arrogance, thinking you're going to win because you're going to go get Rav to apply pressure on me, mafiknulach Rav miunach. I'm going to take Rav out of your ear. In other words, I'm going to excommunicate you. I'm going to put you in cherem. And if I put you into excommunication, you can't talk to anyone. You can't talk to Rav. You can't talk to anybody else. No one can talk to you. So you're not going to have anybody supporting you. So listen, you know, humble up. This is not the way to go. You're being judged right now. And it's no time to butter up a judge or the judge's teacher or think you've got some type of inside track. Thank you. You're going to be judged here. And that's it. There's nothing else to talk about." All right, the Torah says that a judge can't show any favor. Right? The whole pasuk is actually this week's parsha, "Lo takiru panim b'mishpat." Don't show any favor in a court case. "Kakaton kagadol tishmu'un." Like the small thing, so the big thing shall you hear. "Lo taguru mipnei ish." Don't be afraid of any man. "Ki hamishpat le'elohim hu." Because justice belongs to God. "V'adavar asher yikshe mikem." Whatever is hard for you, "tekrivun elai." Bring it to me, says Moshe. "Ushmativ," and I will hear it. So now the Gemara is going to interpret each part of this pasuk. "Kakaton kakadol tishma'un." Like the small, so the big shall you hear. Amar Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish said what this verse meant, "Shehei chaviv alecha din shel pruta kedin shel meyamana." It should be as beloved to you, a court case that revolves around a pruta, like a court case that revolves around 100 zuz. In regards to what are you telling us this? If it's to say that when there's a court case about a single pruta, you have to investigate it, and then issue a ruling. Shita, of course, you have to investigate and deliberate and make sure you get your ruling right about a single pruta, the same way you have to investigate and deliberate and make sure you get your ruling right about 100 zuz. I mean, a pruta's, it's halacha. You know, theft on a pruta is also theft. Of course it's very valuable, and you have to really pay attention. As we learned the last few days, a judge is a representative of God and brings the Shekhinah into this world if he carries out justice correctly. So of course you have to take a pruta as seriously as you take 100 zuz. So the Gemara says, no, the Chiddush is elalak dumi. The Chiddush is that you deal with the pruta case before you deal with the 100 zuz case. In other words, if first people come with a pruta dispute, you have to judge that and resolve that, even if later someone else comes with a much bigger amount of money. But first you have to deal with the smaller amount, because the smaller amount came to you first. All right, the pasuk continues. It says, "Lo saguru mipnei ish." Don't fear a man. Don't bring anything in. So as we see here, right, as we saw before, don't hold things in because, you know, a litigant is tough. You may not like it. And the pasuk continues, ki hamishpat l'elokimu, because justice is in God's hands. Amar Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina. Oh, do we have to call Chaim?
He's on.
Okay, great. Rav Chama b'Rav Chanina said, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says, Lo dayan l'rashayim shenot l'mizeh mamon, v'nosem l'zeh. Is it not enough that the wicked people take money from one person and give it to somebody else? Shelo kedin, which is unfair and against the rules. But they create an inconvenience on me that I need to now give the money back to the rightful owner. And ultimately God makes sure that there's justice in the world. So God says, you know, I'm so upset with the wicked. Not only are they doing the wrong thing, taking money from one person illegally and giving it to somebody else, but because of that, I need to now rearrange reality to get the money back from the guy who has it illegally back to the one who should be the rightful owner. Then the pasuk says at the end that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Adavar asher yikshem ikem, whatever matter is hard for you, bring it to me." Right? Moshe appoints lots of judges. He tells them, you know, it's a very big job. You're working for God. You know, be careful about small things as on big things. Don't worry about people. Be honest. And he says, and if there's something which is really hard, bring it to me. I'll resolve that question. So the Gemara here criticizes that. Amar Reb Chanina v'itim Reb Yoshia. Some say Reb Chanina says it, some say Reb Yoshia said it. Al davar zanenash Moshe. For this, Moshe was punished, as if he knows all the answers. So that's why when questions were brought to him, he didn't even know the answers. Shenamar, that's what the pasuk says. And last two parshios, the daughters of Tzlafchad come to Moshe. They say, you know, we want to get our father's inheritance. Moshe doesn't know whether or not they could get it. Vayakrev Moshe, mishpatan lifnei Hashem. And Moshe brings their law in front of God, to ask God, should the daughters of Tzlofchad get the inheritance that would have gone to Tzlofchad's sons, but he doesn't have any sons. Mask if Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, challenge this interpretation. Miksiv Ashmi Achem, did Moshe say any hard things bring to me and I will inform you, I will tell you the answer? Ushmatif Ksiv. Moshe said, bring any hard things to me, I'll hear it. I may have to ask Hashem. So where is the great arrogance here? He's saying, Yigmirna Gmirna, if I know it, if I have a tradition about it, I'll tell you. Vilo, and if not, Azilno Gmirna, I'll go and I'll learn it from God. Ella, so really there was nothing wrong in Moshe Rabbeinu having to ask God, what's the answer about the daughters of Tzlafchad? Nothing wrong there. So why didn't Moshe get the answer? Why does Moshe have to ask God? Why is it not like the other parts of the Torah? And look at the Tanya. The story of Tzlafchad is an example of what we've learned in a Braisa. Ruya Parshas Nachlo Shaticha Teval Yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. The section about inheritance, and if there's no son, the inheritance goes to the daughters, should have come from Moshe Rabbeinu like the rest of the Torah comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ela Shazachu Benos Tzlafchad. But the daughters of Tzlafchad merited the Nichtav al Yadan, and instead it was written through them because they had such a love for Eretz Yisrael, and they appealed for the land, so they got the privilege of revealing these laws. Ruy Aisa Parshas Mekoshesh Sheti Katev al Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, the section that a person who violates Shabbos gets punished by being stoned, which is first taught to us in Parsha Shlach, when the man was mekoshesh etzim, something with wood, not clear what it is, whether it was lighting fire with wood or gathering wood out in the natural habitat into a pile, the malach of ma'amer, or the malach of hotzav, carrying wood from a private domain to a public domain, whatever it was, he did something with wood, and therefore he's put into a lockdown, and then he's stoned to death. So really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have known what punishment should be given to him. But Moshe didn't know it. He had to ask God because he was so guilty, this Mekoshesh. V'nichtav al yado was written through him. Because of his guilt, he brought about these sad news. So this teaches you. Bad people bring bad news into the world. Bad people bring bad stuff. And merits come through good people. So saints, the daughters of Tzlafchot, are good people, loving the land and appealing for the land. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the privilege of teaching us the laws of inheritance of the land. Really, Moshe Rabbeinu should have. It's not a knock on Moshe. It's a plus on the daughters of Tzlafchot. They had so much love that they got to be the ones to reveal these laws. And the Koshesh Yitzim was so terrible that he caused the revelation of the punishment for violating Shabbos. Now, we all know that the Gemara says in Shabbos that it could be that the Mekoshesh Yitzim is Tzlafchot. So it's interesting that his daughters in many ways are correcting his behavior. He himself was the Chayav, the guilty one, who brings misfortune, halachos of misfortune to the world. His daughters are the Zakai, the great meritorious ones, who bring merits into the world. All right, going further in the various psukim, here in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Dvarim, where Moshe appoints judges. On the one hand, the pasuk says, "Va'atzaves shofteichem bo'esai." I commanded your judges at that time, saying, "Shemua ben achachim ashvatem tzedek." Here between your brethren, and judge. Ve'inishu ve'in achivu ve'in geiro, between a man and his brother or his convert. But then we have another pasuk. Not I command your judges. But for eschem bo esahi, I commanded you at that time, as kolad varma eilat. So Amr Belazar, Amr Bsimlai, Belazar says the name of Bsimlai, the meaning of these two verses is, so the first time it sounds like Moshe is telling the judges to force the community to follow them, and the second time it sounds like he's telling the community to listen to the judges. So Amr Belazar Bsimlai, Rabbi Belazar explains the name of Bsimlai, Azhar Letzibur, Shetehei Emas Dayan Alehem. One is a warning to the community that they need to fear the judge. Azhar Letzayan, Sheyizbal Esatzibur. Another is a warning to the judge that he should tolerate the community. So Ad Kama. So how much tolerance does the judge have to have for his community? Amr Bchanan, Yitem Rab Shibtai. Rab Hanan, some say it's Rab Shabtai, explained, as the pasuk says, "Kasher yisa ha'omena sayonek," like a nurse carries a baby. In other words, like a father carries a son. That's how much tolerance a judge has to have for his community.
Rabbi, this is not the difference from leader.
Ah, okay. Save the pasuk says. I talk about other contradictions. The pasuk says back in the end of Vezos HaBracha, the end of the Torah, the pasuk says that Moshe tells Yoshua, "Ki ata tavo et amazel aretz asher nishba Hashem lavoseichem," for you will come with this people to the land. Then you have another pasuk, you know, another 15 psukim later, "Ki ata tavi," for you will lead this people, you will bring this people. Not you will come with the people, you will bring the people. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan answered, "Amar Moshe Yoshua." Moshe tells Yoshua, "Atav azkenim shebedori mahem," you together with the leaders of the generation with them should bring the people. In other words, you should consult with the Sanhedrin. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's what Moshe said originally. So then Hashem says, so that's why Moshe says, you will go with the nation, you will go with the leaders. Amal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says to Moshe, that's not a good recipe. Tol makev ahachal kol kadam. No, take a stick and hit them on their head. In other words, Hashem tells Yoshua, take a stick and hit the people over their head. You can't have the leader weakened that he has to consult with his Sanhedrin. Dabar echad lador. There can only be one leader to a generation. Ve'en shnei dabar in lador. You can't even have two leaders. Certainly you can't have 71 leaders. You can only have one leader who's making the decisions, and that's it. You can't have multiple people. Tana, we lived in a braisa. All right, going back to the laws of judges. Zimun bishlosha. The word zimun has multiple meanings. It can mean an invitation. It also can mean inviting others to join you in benching in Birkat HaMazon. When you have three people who ate together, it's a permanent meal, and the Birkat HaMazon is a more serious Birkat HaMazon. So Zimun is with three. My Zimun. What does it mean, Zimun? An invitation is with three. Ivema Birkat Zimun, if it means Birkat HaMazon, when you have three people who ate bread, they bench together. Vatana Builadina Braisa Zimun, invitation. Ubirkat Zimun, and the blessing of the three together, Bishloshas with three. V'chitem, if you're going to say, Pirushikam Afarish, the Braisa is explaining itself, my Zimun, what is the meaning of invitation with three? Birkat Zimun, the blessing on being full is with three. V'atana builadina Braisa Zimun Bishlosha, Zimun is with three. And then the Braisa continues, Birka Zimun Bishlosha, the blessing of three people after they eat is with three. So clearly Zimun is something different. Elamai Zimun, what does it mean? Zimun Azmune Ledin. When you summon someone to court, you have to summon him in the name of three judges. Ki Adam Rabba's Rabba said, Hani Beit Lase Dayana Diyasvi, if three judges are sitting, Vazil Shlichu de Beidina, and their representative goes, Vamir Puma Dechad, and he summons someone to come before them. In the name of one judge, he says, Rabbi Steinman from the court wants you to come. Lo Amar Klum, the person who's been invited can ignore it. Adam Mishmei de Kulu, what is a summons? If the court representative comes and says, Rabbi Steinman, Rabbi Kanievsky, Rabbi Pavarsky, the three of them summon you to come, then you have to go. And immediately be lo yom adina. Now that's all referring to if it's not the day of judgment. It's not Monday and Thursday, because we know Monday and Thursday the courts sit to judge. I will be yom adina, but on the day of judgment, on Monday and Thursday, leslanba, even if the representative comes in the name of one judge, that is a proper summons. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah lists lots of different cases of law that are to be adjudicated by three expert judges. One of them was Tashlume Kefel, the question of whether or not a thief has to pay double, or whether the thief has to pay four times or five times. It needs three judges. Shalach le'Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda le'Rav Nachman bar Yaakov. Rav Nachman bar Rav Chisda sent to Rav Nachman bar Yaakov, Yilam Deinu Rabbeinu, our teachers should teach us, Dine Knasos Bekama, laws about a fine, how many expert judges do we need? I said, what? Michael Yibayle, what do you mean? What's the question that he was asking? The Mishnah lists lots of fines. Double, four times, five times. Half Nezek might be a fine. The law of a rapist and a seducer and a Motzi Shemra. All these are fines. And the Torah says, it, and the Mishnah says, it's three expert judges. Ellis, his question was like this. Yachid Mumcha Kamibayle. What about a single expert judge? Can he issue rulings on matters of fines or not? I'm lazy. He said to me too. We learned it in the Mishnah. Tashlume Kefel, a question about paying double for the thief. Tashlume Arba V'Chamisha, the thief of a sheep or a cow, possibly paying four times or five times, because the stolen item was not just stolen surreptitiously, but it was slaughtered or sold. Bishlosh, it has to be three. So my Shlosha, what three? If you're going to say it means three simple people, but the father of your father says the name of Rav, even 10 judges, if they would not be experts who have smicha, who are part of the chain, going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, they are disqualified to judge matters of fines. So three must mean experts. V'kamar shlosh, it says three experts, not one. So you see that you need three experts to issue rulings on fines, and yachid mumche, single individual who's an expert, couldn't do it. All right, then the Mishnah says,
so the direction of thought, it cannot be at all at your thought.
Correct.
Okay.
That's right. Questions of fines have to be judged by mumchim, by experts.
That was with respect to what?
Monetary issues. Dos valvos. That's right.
Okay.
not to knasos. Then the Mishnah said, what about the issue of motzi shema? So again, remember in the times of the Torah, there were two parts to marriage, kiddushin, putting a ring on her finger, saying, harayat mekudesh asli. And then a year later, nisuin, the actual marriage. So what happens if a year later, a year after the kiddushin, she was already married for a year, but they haven't been living together. A year later, the husband claims the wife is not entitled to her ksuba, because he claims that she was disloyal, that he was with her and he didn't find in her dam besulim, the blood of virginity. So he claims she wasn't loyal to him, so therefore she should be out. He wants to give her a get. And no ksuba. She forfeited her ksuba by her misbehavior. So the Torah says that we're going to look into the claim. If her father comes and says, hey, but you know, here is the sheet, and the sheet has the blood of the dam besulim, so she was a virgin, so you're lying, so you're just creating a false rumor about my daughter. So then the man has to pay a fine. That's the law of motzi shema. So that law of paying a fine is with three. That was the first view, Rabbi Meir. And the Chachamim say that is an issue that comes before 23, because it could end up being an issue of life and death. Now, so Gemara says like this, V'chiyesh bo dinin nefashos mayhavi. Sometimes a claim that a woman wasn't loyal is an issue of life and death. So who cares? That's sometimes. That's not what's happening here. The man here is coming and saying, I don't want to pay the ksuba. He's not claiming that he has witnesses that she was disloyal. The only way it could be a death issue is if there'd be witnesses that she was disloyal. He doesn't have witnesses that she was disloyal. He's claiming that there's just no ksuba. So Amar Ula explained like this. The argument is, b'choshesh en l'las kamiflugi. Are we worried that once an issue of accusations come out, you know, Lashon Hara starts spreading, and when the Lashon Hara starts spreading, all sorts of witnesses come out of the woodwork. Rabbi Meir, Savri Meir says, Ein choshin lulaz, we're not worried that Lashon Hara is going to spread. So the man comes in and says, I know that I don't have to pay the ksuba, because she wasn't loyal to me, okay? That's what he's claiming. He's claiming not to pay the ksuba. So that's a question of money. That's three. However, Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan hold, yeah, why is he claiming he doesn't owe the ksuba? Because he's claiming she wasn't loyal. Now, he doesn't claim to have witnesses who warned her about death, about being disloyal. But once the rumors are out that the man says his wife wasn't loyal, maybe there are witnesses who warned her before she was disloyal, that if she's disloyal, she might in fact, die. And it's a matter of life and death. So, the Rabbanan hold, Chayshin and Lulaz, we're worried that once the bad news is out, the witnesses are going to show up, and then already it's a question of life and death. So therefore they say it should be in front of 23 judges. That's explanation number one of the Mishnah's argument. Explanation number two. Rava, my Rava said, Kuli amal Lulaz lo Chayshin. No one's worried that once he comes in with a discussion about money, it may roll into a discussion of life and death with other witnesses coming, saying that they warned her about death. Here we're arguing about whether we should worry about the honor of the first judges. We're talking about a case where the husband claimed he had witnesses about an issue of life and death. He said he had witnesses that she had been warned not to be disloyal, because if she would be dying, because she's a married woman. So 23 judges came. But then, the Ivdur, they couldn't find these witnesses, so the judges left. So he says, all right, but at least let me be exempt from paying the ksuba. So, the Chachamim hold, since we started with 23, it's an insult to end with 3. You need 23 still. And Rabbi Meir holds, no. The question of ksuba is a question of money, so that can be done with 3. Meisve, I'll challenge you. What do we have here? Meisve, I'll challenge you. We learned The Chacham Omrim, Chachamim say in a brisa, Tvo Mamon, if the husband's demanding money, Bishlosha, that can be done in front of three judges, Tvo Nefashos, if he's demanding an issue of life and death, Biesim Bishlosha, 23 judges. So Bishma Rabba, according to Rabbi, can understand, Tvo Mamon Tchila, if he comes in asking about money, then Bishlosha, fine, he can do that with three judges. But if he's claiming that he has witnesses that she was disloyal and that they had warned her about life and death issues, so Afilu, even if ultimately we don't find these witnesses and now he wants Mamon, he wants to claim that she should lose the Ksuba, B'Yesim V'Shlosha, still needs to be 23, because as we said, once he started to involve the 23, it would be disrespectful for them not to have to continue it. Ella Ula, but according to Ula, that you need 23 because even though you start with money, when you have Lashon Hara flowing, other people might show up. So one second. So now Kasha, so where do you have an issue of when their demand is about money, you only need three? So Amar Rava, so Rava answered, Aniva Arisha B'chabura Tzar Gimna, I and the lion in our group answered it up. Umanu, who's the lion? Reb Chiya Bar Avin. Hachav Mayaskina, the case is very complicated. It's like this. Shehevi Abal Edim Shizinta. The husband came and brought witnesses about life and death. He said, I have a problem. My wife is disloyal. She needs to be killed. And he said, here are the witnesses that we warned her. And they say, yeah, we warned her when she was Mikudeshet not to be with so-and-so. And she went with so-and-so. We saw her do the act with so-and-so. She deserves to be killed. And then the father of the wife comes and brings other witnesses. And they flip the witnesses of the husband. These second set of witnesses say the date and time you said that you saw this act of marital indiscretion, you couldn't have been there. Because that day and time you were with us in Australia. So he couldn't have possibly been there. So now it's all flipped. So now what the husband tried to do is going to be done to him. So ba ligvos mamon mi baal. If it's the father who has the second set of witnesses, which is the winning case, coming to collect money from the husband, because the husband was trying to make him lose money. So now he's the one who gets to take the money from the husband. Bishlosha. So he does that in front of three judges, because that's not an issue that could become life and death. Because if a husband starts with a claim of money, the claim of money could end up becoming life and death, because you know, we'll have Lashon Hara, witnesses will show up, say, yeah, it was really life and death issues. But here it's not. We know that the claim of her disloyalty is not a real claim. That's not a real claim, because the witnesses of the disloyalty are a bunch of liars. So there's no real witnesses coming out of the woodwork. These guys are liars. The husband hired witnesses. So now we're just dealing with money. On the other hand, on the side of the father, to try to get money from the husband. So that's a question for three judges. However, v'makom nefashos. But when we're dealing with an issue of real life and death possibility, in other words, where the husband comes in with claims of that she's not entitled to the money, and now the rumors might spread. So then, Besim Vishlosha. So according to Ula, then you need to have 23 judges. All right, another explanation of this argument. Abaye Amar Abaye says, the Kuliyah, maybe everybody agrees, Chashin and Lilaz, if a husband comes in with a claim that the wife should lose the Ksuba, that itself, we're worried, is going to create Lashon Hara, might become a matter of life and death. Everybody agrees to that. In addition, if the husband came in claiming he has witnesses of life and death, Mishum Kvodon Shel Rishonim, once we had to deal with 23, we still have to deal with 23. But Hachav Mayaskina, what's the argument in the following case? The husband brings witnesses and they say that they warned the wife without telling her what the punishment for the behavior would be. The high Tanahu, so now it's an argument which is a famous argument, the Tanahu lived in a Braisa. A man who convinces other people to worship idols gets killed, even though he's not warned by witnesses. Even the witnesses who are hiding and see him doing something can get him killed. However, but anybody else who's obligated in death from the Torah is only killed in a court of 23. The Eidim, and they have to be witnesses. The Hasra, the witnesses had to have warned him before he did what he did. And the witnesses in their warning had to warn him he's going to be killed by the by a court because of the following sin. Rabbi Yehuda says, they have to tell him which death he's going to get. So that's the argument here too. In other words, Rabbi Meir holds like Rabbi Yehuda that the witnesses have to say which death. So here in this case where they didn't say which death, therefore it can't ever be life and death. It's only money, so it can be in front of three judges. And the Chachamim hold that they don't need to say which death. They need to just say that it's a matter of life and death. And therefore here where they warned her saying it's a matter of life and death, it's a matter of life and death with 23 judges. Rav Papa gave another answer. Over here, what's the argument? Be'isha chaveira askin on a woman who is a Talmid of Chachama. She's very knowledgeable. And the man, the husband, brought in witnesses. But these witnesses say that there was no warning at all. So the argument is between Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The time Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chavir and Tzara Chasra. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda says the Talmud Chacham doesn't need a warning. Because the whole point of a warning is just to tell someone, hey, you can't be mistaken. There's serious stakes here. But if someone's a Talmud Chacham, they know that there are serious stakes, so they don't need a warning. So if she's a Talmud Chachama, she doesn't need a warning. Therefore, it's a matter of life and death. But if you hold, like the Rabbanan, that even a Talmud Chacham needs a warning, so even though she's a Talmud Chachama, she was in need of a warning. And since the witnesses tell us there was no warning here, here it's not an issue of life and death, and therefore it can be in front of three judges. Rabbi Chananya ben Akasha, may Ratzak Hadash Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael, L'Fichach Kher B'Lehem Torah Mitzvah, Shenemar, Dinei Chafetz L'Man Tzidko, Yagdil, Tarav Yadir, Kaddish Rabbanan.